This is Future Tense from American Public Media for Wednesday, August 25th, 2010. I'm Larissa Anderson, in for John Moe. It's been 2 years since a Span airplane crashed just after takeoff at an airport in Madrid. It was the worst crash Spain had seen in 25 years, killed 154 people. The United States is involved in the investigation. It was a U.S.-built plane, and officials have already released many of the details of the crash. Part of the problem? The wing flaps and slats were not in the right position at takeoff. That's kind of like driving a car with the doors open. Also at issue, malware. Bill Waldock is a professor of safety science at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Prescott, Arizona.
The computer that's involved, actually, the original report I read seemed to indicate it was on the aircraft. That wasn't true. The computer involved is actually the central maintenance computer, which is on the ground where the malware was detected.
Can you walk me through how malware on a system on the ground can affect whether or not a plane is safe?
Well, in this case, what it did was the malware apparently caused the computer to not alert the ground crews that there had been very similar problems with the airplane in the immediate 24 hours prior to the flight. They apparently had repaired the flap system at least twice. And there are automatic alerting features in the computer that normally would give you a warning that something's not right with the airplane. And in this case, apparently the malware disabled that feature so that it didn't alert anybody. That's why they're right now listing it as a contributory cause, not a direct cause to the crash.
That's Bill Waldock. The malware in this case is known as a Trojan horse. Jeff Moss is the founder and director of the Black Hat Computer Security Conference. Jeff, explain what a Trojan horse is.
Trojan classically is a piece of software that an attacker would leave behind once they've successfully broken into your computer or your system to ensure that the next time they want to get into your system, they don't have to go through all the steps they did originally. So it's sort of a shortcut for them to kind of speed dial their way directly back into your system. In the articles I've read, they said there just wasn't just one, but there was a lot of malware on that system. And the problem is there's no interoperability guide for malware developers. So what happens is if there's just too much stuff on your system, generally they don't play well together and you get crashes or the system misbehaves.
So this particular malware wasn't even setting out to mess with the plane.
The person who developed this Trojan or this malware never intended to cause an airplane to crash. That was not its purpose. You know, its purpose was to probably allow the person who attacked it to come in at a later date. So I just draw a distinction between this is maybe a wake-up call that there needs to be better security hygiene around these critical systems. Because if this is what can happen by accident, just imagine what can happen if there was a nefarious intent.
Jeff Moss. Spanish investigators will report their findings on the Spanair crash in December. Other stories we're following at futuretense.publicradio.org. Starting next week, Prius owners in Japan can buy a speaker system that will make the car a little noisier at low speeds. Sounds like this. Toyota hopes this will help make the car safer for pedestrians who can't hear it coming. And George Lucas is suing Jedi Mind Inc. for $5 million. The company makes a wireless headset it claims allows users to do things like control the mouse and send emails just by using their brains. The company says the headset can read conscious and non-conscious thoughts. You can watch the demonstration video on our site. Nobel laureate and Cornell University physics professor Robert Richardson has a warning about helium. The world is running out of it, and that could mean a lot to the tech world.
No MRI machines. It will be impossible without the liquid helium to cool the magnet.
Helium is also used in fiber optic cables. It helps keep the signal strong. All those screens in our lives, the LCD screens, those need helium too. We need helium for telescopes, and NASA uses it to clean out rocket engines. Richardson co-chaired an inquiry into the world's dwindling helium supply. He just published a report recommending the price of helium go up 20 to 50-fold. That would make it worthwhile for people to recover and recycle helium. And it would make balloons very expensive. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at Future Tense APM. I'm Larissa Anderson, and for John Moe, this is Future Tense.